So let's get into the Word. Something I have a lot to say, and I'm going to say it pretty quickly. So it's going to, we'll see what happens. But I wanted to give you a little background information because I want you to see how this parable applies to you, and I think the background information on the New Testament is very important. So we're talking about the New Testament. We're talking about Jesus speaking this story to a group of people. Who are these people that he's speaking to? They're the Israelites, and they're the Jewish people. When Jesus was born there 2,000 years ago, the Christ, and the Jewish people are there. They have this long history, the Jewish people, way, way back before Christ came. God trying to work with all the people of the world. He's trying to minister to all the people of the world, and he chooses this man, Abraham. You guys may be familiar with Father Abraham. This man Abraham, and he says, I'm going to create a nation out of you, the nation of Israel, out of you, Abraham. And then through my interaction with you and this nation of Israel, I want to communicate to everybody in the world who I am. I want everybody to know who I am, and the way I'm going to do this is I'm going to interact with you. I'm going to have a relationship with you. So I want you to hear what I'm saying about Israel, and I want you to kind of see how it works out for you in your church. That God has chosen a people. God has chosen a person, right? Abraham. He's chosen you. He's chosen this church. This is a group of people that God has chosen to have a relationship with. And he says, I want to tell everybody in the world about me. I want to tell the whole world, I'm going to choose you. I'm going to have a relationship with you and interact with you. And you will be a witness for me in the whole world. Okay? And then they're going to know who I am. They're going to know about my mercy. You know about my grace. They're going to know about my provision. They're going to be able to see what it means to have a relationship with me through my relationship with you. I want you to be a witness to the world. That's your job. So he says to the people of Israel, that's what he says to us. So there's a lot of parallels here. Okay, and I want us to see if we can grab onto that. So he gives Israel this knowledge. We have this group of people, and consequently the world is hostile toward God. The world is really not just inviting of God. We've never been that way. No one has ever been that way. And so God has entered in this relationship in particular so that he can give a word, to give a communication. When we say word, the word of God, Jesus is the word. What is a word? A word is a communication. It's, watch this. You ready? I'll try. Elephant. See? Something popped in your head, right? The elephant. Long trunk. You know? Tail, big animal. Elephant. Communication. I just said a word, and it communicated something to you. And so that's what God's trying to do to the world. He's trying to communicate to them a word, an image, if you will. An image about who he is. He wants people to have this image pop in their head when you say Jesus Christ. He wants that to be a word, an image to pop in your head. What does Jesus Christ communicate to you about God? What is his? He's a word. That's why I say he's the word, right? What is the word that he communicates? Well, he communicates that God is merciful, right? Communicates that God is just, that God is full of justice because he doesn't pass over sins. He punishes sins on the cross. God is loving and kind because and merciful because he didn't pour out the wrath on you, he poured out on Jesus. He provides for us. God's a provider. So this Jesus is this word to us about God. He tells us about the nature and character of God. And God wants Israelite, his interaction with you, with the Israelites, he wants that to be a communication to the whole world about who he is. But the Israelites shirk their responsibility. Does that sound familiar too? Remember, Israelites, us, our church, we're trying to think about this God interacting. Israelites shirk their responsibility. They did not witness to the world. As a matter of fact, what they did is they said, we're the chosen people. That makes us special. We're actually better than everyone else. And we should rule everything. And they formed for themselves a king and a nation. You know, they didn't originally have a king, Israel. They asked God for a king. They said, we want a king. And we want to be like the other nations. We want politics. We want economics. We want all the stuff that the other nations have and rulers to rule over us and tell us what to do. And God said, well, I don't want that. That's not what I wanted. And they said, no, that's what we want. So So they shirked their responsibility to be a communication to the, and they wanted to be and to have things in the world. And they didn't want to be that witness to the world. They didn't want to communicate to the world. And so they became selfish. They became arrogant. We're the chosen people. They became arrogant, not wanting to interact with all those dirty other people, those nations out there that are filthy and dirty and they smell like smoke. You know? I don't want to interact with them because they're filthy. And so that's what they did. They said, we're above you. And so we don't interact with you. We're the chosen. And so consider themselves better than others. And because they didn't follow God's plan, because they didn't want to pursue that, God said, it's not going to work out for you. So they were constantly defeated in their life. God gave them a word about who He was, about where He wanted to go, about what He wanted them to do. And they said, we don't really want to do that. They were constantly defeated, and they were carried off into exile. So they were defeated as a nation and carried off into exile. And they were waiting, but God said this. He carried them off in exile, but He said this. I'm going to send you a Messiah. I'm going to send you one that is going to deliver you. He's going to deliver you from that whole mindset, that whole way of being that you are. See, God told them, this is how I want you to interact with me. This is how I want you to relate to me. He gave them laws. And He said, now I want you to interact with me and relate to me, and I want you to communicate that to everybody else. But they didn't want to follow God's laws. They didn't want to do what God wanted them to do. And so they were defeated. But God said, you know what? I'm still going to send Jesus. I'm going to send a Messiah, and He's going to deliver you. So they're waiting for this Messiah. And God had given them the Old Testament as a written communication about Jesus that was coming. And they're waiting for this coming Messiah. But because they didn't understand the Word, this communication from God, because they didn't understand the Word, they didn't know who the Messiah was when He showed up. They didn't recognize Jesus for who He was. And they didn't recognize His kingdom and the things that He wanted to do. They didn't recognize anything about Christ. And so you've got this group of people that are there. They have conjured up their own ideas about who the Messiah is supposed to be, who the King is supposed to be. That's why when Jesus showed up, they were like, you can't be the Messiah. They had read the Old Testament too. They had read the Scriptures, but they didn't understand the Word. And so when Jesus showed up, they were like, no, you're not the Messiah, because I have an image in my head of what the Messiah is supposed to be, and you're not it. See? And so they already had a different word in their head. They had an image in their head, but it wasn't an image of who Jesus was, because they didn't understand the Word. They didn't understand the communication from God, the Scriptures, the Word from God. And so they didn't understand the kingdom either. Jesus had a kingdom work that He wanted to do that was a work concerning, I want to bring everybody in. I want to minister to all people and to all nations. I love the world. I want you to communicate that to everybody. But that's not what they had. They had a different kingdom in mind. They had a kingdom that was political, and that was them being said. They were like, yeah, you know what? Here's our Messiah. Our Messiah is going to show up. Because at this point, when we read this passage, when Jesus told this story, Israel was defeated and they were in captivity by the Romans and the Greeks. They had been in captivity for years by all these other people. They were in captivity and they were waiting for their Messiah to deliver them. And so when He shows up, they say, no, our Messiah is going to show up. He's going to be really strong and He's going to beat up the Romans. And He's going to put all of us in charge. Huh? That's our Messiah. That's what my Messiah is going to do. He's going to come over here and He's going to whoop all my enemies and He's going to put me in charge of everything. What do you think about that? And that's who they're waiting on. But that's not who's showing up. So they're going to miss the boat when Jesus shows up. They're going to miss the boat entirely. So the question is, are you going to miss the boat when Jesus shows up? What is the image in your head that you have of Jesus and His kingdom? What does it mean to follow Jesus, to look for this Messiah, to wait on Him, to have Him show up? What is your image of Jesus in your head? Is He the one that's going to deliver you from your troubles and put you in charge of everything? You know what their idea of the kingdom of God was? It was kind of just an exalted image of worldly pleasures. Like I'm gonna be in charge of everything, you know? I'm gonna have all the good stuff that I want. You know, we're gonna be telling everybody else what to do, and they're gonna be serving us. They're gonna put our enemies under our feet. That's what we're gonna do. That's what the kingdom's about. Is that your image of the kingdom? That Jesus came and lived and died to establish you on earth and give you an earthly kingdom? What is your image of your calling of who this Messiah is? What is His purpose? What is your calling? Is your calling to be a witness to the nations? Or is your calling to rule over everyone? And Jesus is going to come back. Are you waiting for Jesus to come back to put you in charge of everything? So we have this group of people that Jesus is talking to, and they've missed the boat about who Jesus is. They've missed the boat. They're not understanding who Christ was, what He wanted, what His kingdom was about. They didn't understand any of these things about Jesus. So we have a people living in a world that's hostile to God. Uh-oh, I'm in trouble now. Good? Okay. We have people living in a world that's hostile to God. They're shirking their responsibilities. They're trying to enter through a relationship with God through a corrupt understanding of who the Messiah is, a corrupt understanding of the kingdom, and in light of that, a corrupt religion. Their whole religious system is a one that's a false one and a corrupt one because it's not in line with what God wants. They have a corrupt understanding of their calling, the purpose of God, because they have not understood the Word of God. And Jesus has shown up on the scene saying, I'm the Messiah. I'm the one that was supposed to come. And they're like, no, you're not. And He's like, yeah, you're not understanding the Word. You're not understanding the Word. It caused them to not be able to recognize Jesus. So, they have a Jesus Christ or a Messiah that is palatable to them, palatable to their culture, meets their needs, worldly needs. Their kingdom is worldly pleasures that this Messiah is going to bring in. And it results in a people not fulfilling their calling or going out to the world as a humble witness to the greatness of God, but instead wanting to exalt themselves politically and economically and all these other ways. They had privileges of status among everyone. They withdrew from sinners. They didn't want to be a witness to them. So we have here Jesus talking. He was teaching people. He came. He was healing the sick. He proclaimed release to the captives. He was loving them. He was going to serve them by sacrificing His life and dying for their sins. But this is not their idea of the Messiah. So Jesus is sitting in this position with these folks, and He tells them a story. With these folks that He tells them the story. And I guess I tell you that background partly because I'm just really afraid that I've missed the boat on who Jesus is and what His kingdom is. You know? I'm really... because they had the Old Testament scriptures, man. I mean, they were reading the Bible. You know? And Jesus, He says that. He says, don't you know the scriptures? Because they were always saying, no, you're wrong. You're wrong. That's not how it works out. I mean, if you turn one page over, they're saying, no, that's not how things are supposed to go. And Jesus constantly says, man, you haven't read the scriptures? You can't recognize me? And I'm worried that I've created in my mind this image of Jesus that's really not Him. I'm kind of concerned that I've created in my life this pursuit, this religion that's really not real, not truth. I'm a little concerned about us a little bit whenever I read this. I think, wow, I hope I'm not missing the boat on this whole scene of the kingdom. You know, I hope I'm not somebody walking around trying to establish my own kingdom. You know? I hope I'm actually following Jesus. Because following Jesus, I mean, Jesus is going somewhere, right? While He's here, He's going somewhere. And that's to the cross. I'm wondering if I'm following Jesus. Or if I'm trying to establish myself as ruler in this world. At some level. You know, am I trying to position myself, gather myself unto me a kingdom of my own that's a worldly kingdom? I'm a little concerned about that. And I really don't understand Jesus and His deal. So, Jesus is talking to these people. And that's who they are. The people that don't understand who Jesus is, and they've missed the boat on what He wants them to do. And so He says this. He tells this story. He says, great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and he sat down, and the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he said, told them many things in parables. He said, the sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, he had seed that fell along the path, and the birds came and took it up. Seed that fell on the rocky ground, and seeds that and they sprang up immediately, but they had no depth of soil, and so when the sun came out, it burned them up, and they didn't last. And then he had seeds that fell among thorns. That choked him out, and he had some seeds that fell among the good soil. So he had these four different kind of soils. One kind of seed. Different kind of soils. And then he explains the parable over there. Real quick, he has seeds on the path, birds ate them up. He has seeds on the rocky ground, they sprang up fast and they were scorched by the sun because they had no root. He had seeds that fell among the thorns, and the thorns choked him out. And he had seed that fell in good soil, and it sprouted. Same seed, four different soils. He says, hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches it away. What has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path, and the bird snatched it away. He didn't understand it. This soil, this place where the seed consequently is the word of God. The seed is the communication of God. The communication of who Jesus is. The communication of His kingdom, what He wants to do, that's the seed. It's been sown in your heart. It's been sown. You're the soil. We're the soil. And the seed is the Word of God and the communication of God. What image pops up in your head when I say Jesus the Christ? It's the Word of God. What is that? What happens in you? What information do you have when you think Jesus Christ? So that's the seed. And it's been sown on different soils. And one soil doesn't receive the seed. Doesn't receive the seed at all. And the birds come and snatch it away. The birds are equated with Satan snatching it away. Soil says things like this. They don't even receive the information at all. Satan takes away the truth and says, I don't understand how there's a God. How there's even a God. How does it prove to me that God exists at all? How could a God become man? How is there anything supernatural at all? How can a dead man resurrect from the grave? How is that? This is false. They didn't even receive. They didn't receive. You know people, right? You know these people. They didn't even receive at all. How's the world a billion years old? What are the dinosaurs? Where do they fit in all this? Right? That's the kind of questions they ask. We ask those same questions. Okay? Good soil asks those same questions. They just ask it in a different way. You know what I mean? I mean, have you ever asked yourself, dinosaurs? Where do the dinosaurs fit in? But how do you ask it? What kind of soil are you? How do you ask it? Do you say, where do the dinosaurs fit into this dumb story? Or do you say, wow, I wonder how the dinosaurs fit in? And you ask genuinely. Or are you someone who just wants to justify, wants to be skeptic? That's the lamest thing I've ever heard. Creating something out of nothing? Or do you say, that's pretty amazing. I wonder how God created something out of nothing. Or how's Jesus God and man at the same time? Or do you say, you can't be God and man at the same time? What kind of soil are you? Are you a soil that receives the word at all? Are you the kind of soil that is a skeptic? Says, I can't even receive it. So there's one soil. Doesn't even receive the word at all. Soil number two, on the rocky ground. Rocky ground is hard ground with a little bit of soil like this. You know, when a plant grows, it grows down and it grows up. You know, right? It grows down and it grows up. The roots are more than what you see up here. The tree is mostly underground. Right? And so, the one who springs up fast and has no roots, he's all show. All of his religion is in public. Do you have, let me ask you this, do you have any private religion at all? You know what I mean? Do you, when you're alone, do you pray? When you're alone, do you think about God? When nobody sees, do you read? Do you talk to God? Do you think about God when you're alone? Or is it only whenever you're in public, whenever you're out in the open? You're an emotional roller coaster. That's what I think about whenever I think somebody who springs up real fast. Woo! I'm excited about Jesus, man. And then, as soon as the sun comes up and the heat turns on, they fall away. Emotional roller coaster. They have nothing firm, no foundation, no truth, no knowledge, no understanding. They haven't searched for it. They have no root system. The root system supports the whole tree, gives it its nutrients, all this stuff, so that the tree can stand strong, even when the persecution comes. And there's a soil in which the tree sprouts up real fast. And woo, man. Oh, Jesus. But they have no root, no truth behind it. They don't understand the first thing about who Jesus is, His kingdom, what He wants. They're just excited. But that won't last. That won't last. We need to have a religion that is unseen, more than our religion is seen. Now, I'm not saying we need to diminish our seen religion. I'm saying we need to increase our private religion. We need to increase our time with God alone. I'm not saying decrease the other stuff. I'm not saying decrease the incitement. I'm saying increase the scripture reading, increase the prayer, increase our thought alone with God so that we can be deep. So you got rocky ground and a shallow soil. Then you got among thorns. You got soil with thorns in it. And the thorns here say to choke it out. And the thorns are the cares of this world. Their desires for money, for wealth, for status, for all kinds of other stuff. Let me ask you this. Are we soil with other desires in there that are choking out our desire for God? Are we soils that have so many other desires we're choking out our desire for God? Their love, you may be this person. You love what the world has to offer. You are so attracted to what the world has to offer. You want money, you want fast cars, you want new stuff, you want sex, drugs, rock and roll, popularity, status. It just draws you. You're drawn to it. You love it. It's going to choke out God. You only have so much room for hunger. I don't know if you know this. You only have so much room for hunger. You can't eat a giant, big, filling meal and then still be hungry. I don't know, you ever notice this? You ever notice how when you're really hungry and you first bite something and you're like, oh, it's so good. And you're eating the same thing, but like at the last bite, you're like, oh, I can't eat another bite. It's disgusting. And you push it away because you're full and you actually changes your taste. You ever notice that? Being full changes your taste. When before, something tasted so good. And then all of a sudden, it doesn't taste that good anymore because you're full. That's the way it is with God. If you fill up on all these other desires, God won't taste good. You need to be hungry. So we deny ourselves all this other stuff so that we can really feast on the main course. We got to take up all these other desires. Can't have all these other desires. Sorry. We cannot desire money and God in the same soil. Can't happen. It kills our desire for God. So we have these different soils. And then, of course, we have a good soil. Receive the truth. The soil is deep so that the roots can go down deep. Most of its religion is in private communion with God, and some of its religion is out in public with everybody else in worship and fellowship. A lot of it is. But most of it is in sweet private communion with God in your closet in prayer. It receives the truth and it weeds up all those other desires. It weeds them up. Gets rid of the thorns so it's not choked out. And this soil is able to produce good things. Lots of fruit. Lots of good things. So it really is a matter of the soil, this parable. What kind of soil are you? Good soil receives. It's not skeptical. It asks questions, sure, but it's not skeptical. It's not somebody that doesn't believe. It receives these truths. It receives the communication. It goes deep. I got an illustration for you. You have a rake, and you're raking over the ground. You're raking the top of the ground. And what do you get when you rake the ground, top of the ground? You get a bunch of leaves. But when you dig into the ground, you could find precious stones and diamonds. So good soil is deep. And it goes deep and it digs deep. It doesn't just rake the surface. It's not just showing. It's depth. And good soil doesn't have all these other desires and thorns that choke out the desire for God. So my challenge, my encouragement to us is to be good soil. Is to try to recognize the Word. That's what it's talking about. The seed is the Word. To try and recognize the Word as best we can. And try and not have a false religion, not have a Jesus that is made in our image. I make Jesus like I want him, like I like him. He's nice and cuddly. I like my Jesus like this. It's pretty. My Jesus doesn't say stuff like that. He's friendly. We don't make him in our image, but we receive the word. It's hard sometimes, hard truths. We receive the word. And we live according to the calling with which we have been called. Not a different calling of our own making to establish our own kingdom, but the kingdom that Jesus wants to establish. We try and live according to that and figure that out. And we'd be the good soil. So my challenge is that we'd be the good soil. And right now, we're going to spend some time in prayer. And I would just encourage you in song, right? Song of response. I would encourage you to spend some time thinking about that. Think about this. Are you skeptical? Like, skeptical, like unbelief skeptical, or skeptical, like curious and seeking truth? Are you a skeptical person? Do you always find yourself bringing up things that disprove God? Because you don't disprove God? Or are you somebody who's really showy? You don't have any private religion in your life? Or maybe you're somebody who you know, you're like, man, yeah, I like a bunch of worldly stuff. Maybe that's one. Maybe that's some of it. I think a little bit of it's probably in all of our life at some level. But maybe that might be one of you. We can spend some time in prayer about that and ask God to make us good soil. You know how you make good soil? You go to a really hard, rocky place, bad soil, and you get rid of the rocks, you get rid of the thorns, and you till it up so it's deep. And it's hard work. It's hard work to till up the soil. So that's what you're about to do right now, is to try and till up some of the soil. Maybe right now you can pull up some weeds. You can break up that hard soil so that your heart is soft and can receive the word. So just take a moment. Let's bow our heads in prayer. And see if you can't do some gardening, you know what I mean? Some tilling up some soil. See if God's spoken something to you. If there's something particular, maybe there's something particular you know. You might need to pray about that. Ask God to help us. Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, Lord. We want to be good soil, God. We want to confess to you that we don't understand everything all the time, all your word, but we want to receive the truth that we can receive, and that you help us to understand. Jesus, I know that you have power. It says in your word, you have power to open people's eyes to your word, to the truth of your word. And I pray that you open our eyes, that you till up the soil, the dirt of our hearts, our hard hearts, and you would make it good soil for your word. I pray that you would help us to pull up any desires, and get rid of any desires that compete with you. Help us to grow deep in the knowledge of who you are. Help us, Father, to receive it, to not have this truth be snatched away by skepticism and unbelief. And we pray, Lord, that these things can happen in our lives so that we can have the right image, the right word about who you are, Jesus, and the right word about your kingdom and what you want, so that we don't form for ourselves these fake kingdoms and this fake Messiah. We want the real thing. We want real truth in our life. And I pray if you would just continue to deal with everyone in this room, right where they are, whatever they need. I know that's what you do. I know you know us. And we pray for this, Father, and pray to you in Jesus' name. Amen.